There's five things on there. I only got to one at the last service. So if we even get one, then that's cool. But I'm going to preach a little bit. It's a value. I always try to, even if I preach 10 minutes or 15 minutes, it's a value. We praise God for the testimonies and what he's doing, but the word of God transforms us. So Father, thank you for your word, and we bless your word. And I pray, God, that you would just bring it, steer it, lead it, however you will, but make a deposit in us that you set up these next few weeks. And we honor what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to talk about what does faith look like? I want to come out of Hebrews chapter 11. And I've just been getting rocked with Hebrews 11 for 2 weeks. And just got tons in me I just want to bring to you. And I want to just start out in Hebrews 12, verse 1. And then we're going to go into Hebrews 11. And we'll probably be hitting this. Like I said, your outline has five things on it. I got one in the last service. Probably going to get to one in this. And next week, we'll just pick up where we let off. I'm just taking each of those listed. Hebrews chapter 11 lists all these great feats of faith, and it's called the Hall of Faith, and you see all these great people. And I want to just go through some of those and just bring some of the revelation God's been showing me. But I want to bring it in context, and I always like to kind of signpost where I'm going so that you can kind of grab a hold of where we're going and what I feel like the one thing that God's saying. I was thinking about growing up, how I grew up in a family with 10 kids, and each one of us are different and unique. How many parents have kids and they look like they're not even from the same family? You're like, this is so different from my brother and, you know, our three sons. It's like, this one, you know, is creating websites that no one showed him how to do. And this one's a linebacker and this one's singing and artistic. And you're like, are you, any of you brothers? You know, it's just so different. There's a diversity. Well, we had a diversity in our household. But if you think about it, there's a diversity of faith. There's a diversity that they list all these different people. And sometimes we can read it and just go, oh, that was them, but this is me. No, you are in there somewhere. And God sees each one of us because even our God has so many names and faces and attributes of God. And yet we're the body of Christ and you carry something. So I know God's going to minister to you out of it, but that's my prayer for you. I want to start in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. You could start the clock. I know I don't have much time, but it helps me to know how long I've been yapping. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So he talks about a race. How many of you have ever been in sports? Did you ever run track? Did you ever run? Have you ever run on a track? Maybe you're not on the track team, but you're on the track. How many know it's not so dangerous running on the track? You know, I mean, football, you expect, you know, you got gear, right? You expect it's a little dangerous. Beware when you step on the field, you know, you're going to get taken out or something. I mean, like, you know, it's a little, but in track, you're kind of safe, aren't you? You're kind of, you know, you're running and, you know, it's not so bad. Can I just tell you, this word race is not that word. Okay, what I want to talk to you about is your Christian race, your Christian walk, your Christian journey, that you're going to get closer to your Christian journey that you're on, your faith with God, that race of faith, that. And can I just tell you, it's not as safe. It's not as, not to scare you, but I'm just saying, okay, let me just read the word. The word here used in this word, it's in six times the word's used, only once is it used for race. The other times it's used twice for conflict, twice for fight, once for contention, and once for race. So if you want to talk about your Christianity as being in a race, it looks something like that, you know, boom, getting tripped. I mean, that's like about what it's like. Have you ever been out there and you're like, wow, what was that? God, I'm just doing my thing and I feel like I'm getting tripped and kicked and stepped on. And what is this Christianity? But if we're coaches, right? Ephesians 4 says that the pastoral team, that we're those who are to train you to do the work of service. We're coaches, we're trainers. We bring the best out of you so that you can go onto the field. And if I went on the field and I just thought I was going to go into this race where everybody knows and the rules are all set, there's no contact. This is a non-contact race. I'm doing good, but if somebody like, plah, I'm going to be like, what was that? But if I understand it's a full contact race, I want to be ready for your, you know, your stuff. And if I get hit, kicked, stepped on a little, I'm going to get up and just keep running. Are you with me? I'm just saying, I'm trying to help you. You're going to get stepped on. So don't be surprised. Get up and keep running. Are you with me? He said, I don't think this is very fun. Give me one of those other messages. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. I'm telling you what it says. you know what? And even beyond that, because if you look at this list of people who did these great feats of faith, I just want to encourage you in this. Maybe this will minister to some of you. How many of you have ever been like, look, how many of you have a leader? And let me put you into a scenario. I'm just messing with it. It's okay. How many of you have ever been there where, let me just bring you into a scenario. Say you're on an Olympic team and you're competing. So we have a gold medalist in the room. Come on. But how many of you were on an Olympic competition and your coach was with you running? How about if your coach was next to you? And you're running, and or your captain, let's call him the captain of your team, and you're on this team, and you're running, and he's running, or she's running, and then all of a sudden, they get tripped up and fall in the midst of the race. What would be expected of you? Would you stop and look at the one who fell and stand there and let them go by? What would your job be? What is it? Finish the race, right? We're going to finish the race. So what are you focused on? The one who fell? The one who got tripped up? What are you focused on? Finish line. You're focused on finishing. And so what does he tell us? Run the race and do what? And who are we supposed to look to? The author and what? Oh, the finisher. Jesus finished. Can I just help you with this? Jesus didn't sin. Jesus didn't fall. He made it all the way to the end. He finished. If you do a study on leadership in the Bible, 80% of the leaders get tripped up and they fall. 20% of them make it across the line without messing up. 20%. So you're focused on leaders and captains, you're not going to make it to the finish line. Stop focusing on them. Focus on the finisher, Jesus Christ. He made it all the way. And if I was on the dirt and I tripped up and I was your captain, I'd expect you to focus on Jesus, not me, and keep running. Body of Christ needs to focus on Jesus and focus on the finish. We honor those. We pray for those. We lift up those. We bless those. But my focus is on Jesus. I honor leaders. I honor coaches. I honor people who have sowed into me. Some of them didn't make it to the finish line. Not in ministry anymore. I didn't stop running because they fell out of the race. Are you with me? No, I'm following Jesus. And he's the finisher. He's at the finish line. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And so so we talk, it talks about this in Hebrews 12, this we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And there's people that have gone before us. What a powerful team. All the early apostles, they're up there in heaven cheering you on. Can you hear them in heaven just, Ray, you can do it, you know, and then you get hit and they're like, get up. In slow motion, Ray's like, he's back. And they're like, come on. That's awesome. That's awesome that they're cheering us on. But our focus is Jesus, and we can do it. We can make it. We're to run the race with endurance that's set before us. And no matter what's happening, we realize that we're in a race, and that playing field, we need to understand that we step onto the field. We're all in the game. We're all on the playing field. Sometimes the playing field looks like a battlefield, right? I used to play with some guys and we played ball, and it was like, we knew this is not regular basketball. This is full contact basketball. Okay, are you feeling me, guys? I mean, like, an elbow goes up, a knee goes up, it's all good. Whatever it takes to get the ball in, it doesn't matter traveling, it doesn't matter if you're spinning, you could be doing a kick as you go to shoot. It's like, it was on. And we just all played that way, you know, when like, you fouled me, it's like, get a grip, because that's going to happen. And it was fun, but that's what, it was street ball, you know? So I understood that. Well, we're in this thing, and it's okay if our playing field sometimes looks like a battlefield because of the harvest field. So if I'm all worried about what's happening, it's like, this is friendly fire. You're on my team. You shouldn't have done that. It's like, get over yourself. There's a harvest field, and this playing field that sometimes is like a battlefield is all about a harvest field. It's not about us coming out without a bruise. It's about us winning souls for the Lamb who was crucified. What are we going to do? Look at me, look at me. I'm not trying to be insensitive. Get sozoed, get healed, get blessed. But come on, put some duct tape on it. Move on. You know, just tape it and keep going. It's like, I'm just saying, we've got to like realize there's a harvest field. And if we get our focus off, it's like, we can just get off. Don't get off. We got to move forward. I mean, like you go, well, you know, I don't know about this thing. Come on, Jesus. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was left all alone and everyone left him standing there. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was abused. We don't understand. I've been abused. So what? I was abused. So what? I was beaten. So what? I've been rejected. So what? I've been denied. So what? I've been betrayed. I didn't like any of those things that happened to me. But when I read my Bible, it happened to Jesus. And when I read it, he said, it happened to me. It's going to happen to you. I'm like, okay, all right. It's a full contact sport. I'm in the game still, Jesus. I'm going to keep running. But I think if we preach an ear-tickling Christianity, we're not even training our people right. There's a harvest field. Please don't line up at the Sozo saying, I need a Sozo from the pastor's sermon. I love you. I love the body of Christ. I love the delicate ones. I do. I won't say which one. One of my sons is a little delicate. It's okay. I get that. You know, some of them you can just pop, you know, and they're like, yeah, dad. But some people are different. But you know what? We're heading towards a direction. And Jesus understands. And Jesus created us. Now, I want you just to think right now. We're going to go into Hebrews 11, I promise. Here we go. I've already spent 8 minutes on the intro. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to ask you right now. Hebrews 11. You guys all read Hebrews 11? Show me your hand if you've read Hebrews 11. If you haven't, read your Bibles. Hebrews 11. Okay, how many have honestly read Hebrews 11? Yeah. Okay, now put your hand down. Now I want you to be honest. How many of you can tell me who's the first person listed in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith? Okay, put your hands down. Yeah. It's like the, you know, like when you're doing like, you know, I was in seventh grade glee club and I mouthed half the thing, you know, I'm like, I didn't know what they were saying. I was full on mouthing it. You know, it's like, you know, when you know a song and you're like singing the first verse of Amazing Grace and all the rest, you're just like, come on, guys. We all know we do it. Just lighten up. Lighten up. It's okay. It's okay. I just want to take them person by person. And like I said, today we're maybe just going to get to the first one. But I just want to ask you this before you, some of you are already peeking on your cell phones. Shame on you. Can I ask you this? No, you're not. I'm just joking. Do you think the first person listed is important? First principle of first mention. First, do you think the first person's important? And why would the, if the first person listed, shouldn't there be an importance? And see, I think like that. I'm like, God, why would you put them first? So this is the kind of stuff, I had a lot of time on airplanes. I'm like, okay. So I just think like that. I'm asking God some serious stuff like, hey, I don't know much about this guy. Talk to me about him. Why'd you put him first? What's the big deal about him? Why is he listed first? I mean, Samson's on there, and Samson didn't get a big write-up. I'm like, come on. Come on. Anyway, and so, and what about other people listed? Rahab's listed. You guys know Rahab? Rahab is listed as Rahab the harlot. I mean, I'm serious looking at the list going, come on, I know Sarah's on there. Ladies, everybody go, ooh. Come on, ladies, you didn't do it. Ooh, Sarah's awesome. And then it says Rahab the harlot. Would you be going like, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Did you have to put that part in there about my past? Really? Rahab the harlot? I mean, like, why some of these people? You know why? Because you're not supposed to look at them and say, I can't do this thing. You're supposed to be inspired to do more. Every one of those people, you can go higher. A good coach is like, you can do better than me. You can do more. You can see 10 ears open and you can see creative limb grow from nothing. And you can do these things. You can. You can. And those, that list is there for a purpose. So I want to look at the first one. Maybe there's a reason. So number one was Abel. And I looked at Abel and Abel gave. He gave something. He was, and so number one is Abel had sacrificial giving faith. Because I want to bring up sacrificial and giving. So I just put it together and called it sacrificial giving faith. But there's something in the sacrifice and there was something in his giving. It says in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So you have Cain and Abel. Now you're like, oh, now I know. Cain and Abel. All right. Abel's was the dead one. And he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, he still speaks. So what is he speaking? Do you ever think like that? I think like that. So what is he saying? Come on, he's dead. What is he saying? So I look at him. Abel was a shepherd. He offered sacrifice. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. We can't just read over this and keep going and go, come on, let's get to the ones who have like something totally awesome and inspiring. There's some good stuff here. Genesis 4:2. Then she bore again at this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Genesis 4:2. So here we look at this. Abel wasn't even the big brother. Cain was the big brother. Cain had the birthright. Cain was the first one. Cain was the one who pretty much got all the attention and everything. And he was the little brother, you know, and Abel was the little brother. And so if you think about it, it's like, okay, if I just talked with you about it, here's these people, great, they have a testimony. And their testimony, there's a spirit of prophecy that comes if you can embrace their testimony. But we're to look to the author and the finisher. Can I just look at him and just say, oh, this points to the finisher. Abel's offering pointed to the finisher. He now just put you into the scenario. He put a thank offering on the altar. They have a family altar, and they come, and it's like, okay, here we go. And you know, here's this first family, like, you know, and you know, the older brother was like vegan. No worry, I'm just messing. But he was probably a vegan. No, he's a tiller of the ground. So he brings his vegetables, right? And he puts his vegetables on the altar and his family altar and offers it to God as a thank offering. Don't feel bad, vegans. Come on, I'm sorry. I have people looking at me going, I can't believe you did that. Anyway, so here comes Abel, and Abel puts this big old hunk of meat. I'm sorry, can't resist it. But anyway, he's a shepherd, so he brings an offering. And so Cain brings his awesome vegetable offering. You need vegetables with meat. No. And then Abel brings his offering, and it's a thank offering to God. Now just stay with me for a second, because it doesn't say a lot. So you get to ask God these questions, but I ask God some questions, and maybe my looking into this is me looking into it. Maybe you'll get something. And so he's sitting here and they bring their offering, and how about God gets honored when you bring an offering? And God's honored. But I want to ask you something. What happens when you get in the presence of a holy God who's accepting an offering? What happened with the prophet when he took the coal and touched his lips when he got in the presence? And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Or when Jesus gets in the boat and Peter suddenly saying, depart from me. You know, Jesus is probably like, I don't need to get out of the boat, Peter. I'm diving in because you feel unholy. I'm joking. Just smile. But Peter like is like, I'm in the presence of a holy God, and suddenly you come in contact with your sin. You ever felt that? You come in the presence of God and you're like, God, forgive me for everything. Come on, one of the marks of the Welsh revival was they repented for their sins, and they constantly were saying, God, cleanse me, make me whole, make me holy, holy, holy. They came in the presence of a holy God, and maybe, just maybe, in the presence of a holy God, maybe he wanted to offer God another sacrifice because of his sinfulness in the presence of a holy God. So what would a shepherd of sheep put as an offering to a holy God? I'll give you a hint. What do you think he gave? They hid it over here. A lamb, spotless lamb. And they put this lamb, you guys are so awesome, and Taylor trains them well. And so all of a sudden they're in the presence of a holy God, and what happens? Abel puts a lamb from his flock. He's the tender of the sheep. Is there any daddies in the room? Is a daddy when you see your boy doing something, you're like, that's my boy. You see your girl and you're like, that's my girl. Abel put his offering up and God respected his offering. And he said, that's my Abel. Why? Why did he respect Abel's offering over Cain's? Some reason. I would submit to you that maybe he put a spotless lamb up there. Can I just take you to Genesis 4:3? It says, in the process of time came to pass, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, but Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. So not only did Abel bring the firstborn, it was a prophetic sign of what was to come because he brought the firstborn. And if you were God and you knew that Jesus, your firstborn, was going to be the what? He was going to be the sacrificial what? I think Daddy God was going. You're pointing towards my firstborn. And he's going to be the sacrificial lamb. Because it says that he was reckoned righteous. How do you get reckoned righteous before the cross? The blood of these lambs. And the blood of the lamb was spilled, and through the blood offering, then you're made whole or made righteous. And God was looking forward. I believe he was looking forward to the spotless lamb, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. John 3:16, God gave his first, his only begotten son. And Jesus, that Lamb of God, like John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. He was sending a prophetic offering. He sent a signal. And it says something in there where it says that Abel, now come on, Cain murdered him, and Cain's dead, and God says Abel's blood cries out from the ground. And what was crying out from the ground? I mean, come on. He said here that he obtained a witness that he was righteous. That only could have happened through the spilling of the blood of a lamb, and God testifying of his gifts, plural, which means he didn't just offer a thank offering. He offered a gift. I believe it was a sin offering. And I believe as he did, Abel was sanctified by the gift that he laid, but not just one, but many. He gave his first, but he was a giver. He had to give more. And I just believe that he gave it, and he made that offering. And as he did, then it went on to saying, God testifying of his gifts, plural. He was a giver. He just wanted to give more. He just wanted to give to God's holiness. And through it, him being dead, it still speaks. Because I believe he pointed towards the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God is the one who still speaks. Who's the one who's at the finish line? Who's the author? Jesus. Who was there at creation? Jesus was there at creation. He was there. People say Jesus wasn't even there yet. The cross hadn't even happened yet. No, no, no. Jesus was at the beginning and at the end. And he not only was at the beginning, but he pointed to the end. And Abel's offering pointed to the finisher. He pointed to Christ. He pointed to the cross. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Give it up for Jesus. Now, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Being dead, it still speaks. What speaks? I'll tell you what speaks. It speaks of Jesus, a better way, a better covenant. It speaks of a covenant of eternal life. It speaks of somebody where he touched the very heart of the Father because it's been pushed forward. And all these people, we can pull the Christ out of them. You can see it in Isaac. You can see it in the seed. You can see it, and we'll get to those things. You can see that there's Christ was speaking from the old towards the new. He was pointing and prophesying of you. He was prophesying forward that blood still speaks. And that blood that brings redemption. That blood that brings forgiveness. That blood that cries out. There's blood in the ground. And God's saying it cries out for justice. People, it just wasn't just about Abel who was murdered, whose blood is in the dirt, who cries out. There are people right now that are bound in slavery. They're bound. They need to be freed. There's people that are hungry, and they're crying out. And the answer is in the cross. The answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer is in us saying, I will enter the race. I will enter not only the playing field, but if it turns into a battlefield, but I'm looking because my eyes are on the harvest field. It's on Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. And through him, I can do all things. Through him, I can finish my course. Through him, I won't be one of the 80. I'll be one of the 20% who finish my race. Through him, we can join hands together as we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses who are encouraging us to finish and finish strong. You say, well, you know, what if I made a mistake? Samson made the list and he made a mistake. But before he died, he turned his heart back to God. And he said, God, God, and he made the list. There's the hope for Samson. There's hope for you. We need to get back in the race and enter, and don't punk out. Don't quit. Don't quit. Can you stand with me? Don't back down. Don't slow down. You can do it. Can I tell you, there's one inside of you And greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. We could say, well, let's focus on the grandstand of witnesses and all those who've gone before us. No, let's look to the author and finisher of our faith, because he's not up in a grandstand only. He's also inside of you. And that spirit is inside of you to empower you to finish your course. And he will. I just thank you, because champions are not those who never fail. Champions are those who never quit. Run the race with endurance, and he'll give you endurance. Be a champion for God. It's not just about looking good in the race. It's about finishing. It's okay if I fall. I'll get back up. It's okay if I don't even have breath anymore. It's okay if my legs are totally gone. I will crawl with my hands across the line. It's okay if I don't have a voice. It's okay. With my eyes, I will praise him. I'm going to cross. I'm going to finish. I'm going to go. I'm going to do the distance. I want to run the race. Who will run with me? Who will run the race that's set before you? Who will engage? You say, it's scary, Pastor, I'm afraid. The vision's too great. You probably have a vision from God. That's what I like to hear. I don't think I can do it. I think you're hearing God. Our vision, if we can accomplish it in our own lifetime, it's probably like too small. Go, think bigger. He's doing that, Ephesians 3:20, and he's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you ask or think. Right now, I just pray all over this room, God. I pray that holy conviction that came on his offer, that brought him to bring that offering. Zings, offerings, plural. Plural. It's not even good just once. Sometimes we've already turned our heart over to God. We can do it again, and you can do it again, and you can do it again. You can come back as an offering. You can go to that altar every day. You can find new grace and mercy in the throne of God. Through the blood of Jesus, there's access. And you can go before him. Yeah, he forgives all of our sins. It's not like we have to go every day because of what we did. He forgave it all. But sometimes we mess it up and we need to go back before. But he'll give you a fresh anointing and a fresh impartation. So I just ask you all over this room, if you're here and you say, I just want to get to heaven. I don't know about all that fight and change the world and leader. I just want to be born again. I mean, I just knew the stuff I did, and I just said, God, I just want to be saved. I just don't want to go to hell. And if that's you today, then just ask Jesus to forgive your sins. But once you're forgiven, then you get to run the race. You get to play the game. You get to carry the ball, because God will hand it to you. He'll hand it to you. If your heart's open and you're hungry, he'll hand it to you. So I pray right now all over the room, would we just ask God, forgive my sins. Forgive my sins. You can't offer a sacrifice. Jesus already did it on the cross. You cannot enter through your sacrifice. It's through grace and by the cross of what he did. By faith, we get to say, I accept his sacrifice. By the grace that he poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross, but it's his sacrifice, we get to receive it. Grace, a free gift. We get to just say, not on my merit, but I do declare I receive forgiveness. So all over, just say, I receive forgiveness. Come on, even if you're born again, just say, I receive forgiveness. It feels good all over again. It's good every morning. I receive forgiveness today. I receive forgiveness right now. All my sins, all of them, Jesus forgave them all. Say it, Jesus forgave them all. Not just the small ones, the hard ones. All of them. Not just the sins that you've done, but the sins that were done against you. Say, I just receive freedom from the sins that were done against me. Oh, half of you dropped off the charts. Come on now. People have hurt you. People have done things you need to forgive them for. People have abused. I was beaten. I was messed with. I've been betrayed. I could name all them things Jesus went through. Come on now. Forgive somebody. Say, God, I release them all. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I release them. I release them. Jesus kissed Judas and called him friend. Say, I release the Judases. I release the pain. I release those who inflicted pain for no reason. No reason. He was beaten for no reason other than to take your pain off of you now. And if you refuse it, then you're just saying, then, oh, I don't want to go there. But God, right now, we repent from our sins. And we ask you, God, to not only forgive us, but forgive those who've hurt us. And right now, we just receive strength from you. Ask him, give me strength, God. Give me strength. Ask him, give me strength. Fill me with your spirit, God. Give me strength to be your witness. Give me strength to walk out this walk. Give me strength to get into the race. Give me power to fulfill my destiny. Give me that faith that never quits. God, I'm yours. I'm fully committed. Come on, talk to him. Come on, make a little bit of noise. Talk to him. Tell him, I'm yours, God. I will finish my course. I will fight the good fight. I will re-enter. If you've not entered, if you're not entering now, say, I will re-enter. Today's my day of re-entry, God. I am back on the playing field. And I used to put on races, and some of you guys know that if you know me from way back, I used to put on races, and we'd name the race, and on the tag, you'd get a number, and on that number, there'd be the name of the race. Can I tell you, the name of the race is revival. You are in a day where the race is revival. It's revival. God is reviving souls. There is a harvest field. He is bringing revival to the land. He starts here. He starts in your heart so you can bring revival outside to others. So revive them now. And I thank you, God, as you breathe on what was dead, breathe on what's been cold, breathe on it, stir and fan the flames, fan the fires. Holy Spirit, fan the flames. Come on, ask him. Ask him. Come on, church, ask him. Come on, just ask him. Just say, God, I want that. I want that fire. I want your passion. Give me your passion for the lost. Oh, they were singing a song in worship, and I saw this when I was writing down words of knowledge, and I saw a heart that just went on fire, and then my notes totally disappeared on my phone. They got wiped out, so I think it's for now. That's why I forgot it, but now I remember it. So I just pray right now that your heart would burn. I saw like a coal in the chest, and I started to go, is this heart burn? No, it's your heart burning. I know. I want to release it. I just release the fire of God in your hearts. Fan it, God. Fan it. Let it burn again. Let it burn like a coal on fire again. Let it burn. Even if it's on fire now, let it stoke it. Breathe on it. Winds. And I saw Ezekiel 37 winds when God breathed and he said, can these dry bones live? And then sinew came on the dry bones. And then all that stuff and the flesh and all that. But the end, it was the breath of God. It was God breathing that brought life. God, breathe life. Breathe life. Breathe life. Say, I receive life. I receive your breath. I receive your breath. I receive your spirit. The spirit, that wind, the pneuma, that's the spirit. Spirit, release your spirit, God, in a higher degree in their lives. Let the winds come, God. I just pray your angels would come like those winds, like those flames of fire. Surround their lives, God. Take them into God encounters. Take them into those times and places, God. We don't have time to mess around. We don't have time to mess around. There's a harvest. They're dying. They're hungry. They're hurting. We don't have time to hold back. We've got to go in now. We've got to go in now. We can't wait. We can't hesitate. Come on, fear hesitates. Faith steps in. Step in. Don't step in. Tap in. Don't tap out. Come on. Let faith take you into another level. And I just pray you fan it, God. Fan it, fan it, fan it. And I just thank you for it all over this room. And now I just want you to lift a hand towards heaven and just say, Father, I'm yours. I want you to say, Jesus, you're my finish line. I don't care about men. You finished well. I want to finish well. I want to finish strong. You made it. You're in me. I can do this. I will do it by your strength. Now I just pray for you. I pray, Father, that you would empower them and embolden them to do everything you've called them to do. It's a day of dreams. There's new dreams are getting, there's dreams, you're dreaming again. There's people dreaming again. People have let go of dreams. There's new dreams. It's coming again. You're going to dream again. You're going to see things. I just bless it. I bless it. I bless it. I bless your dreams. And I just see you fulfilling things in teams that you couldn't fulfill alone. I just thank you because God loves team. And Jesus didn't send out any loners. He always sent them in teams. So I bless you. And I thank you for teams. And I thank you, God, as they... I know this sounds weird, but I just see the teams are going to help you to dream. So the team will help you dream. So I just pray, God, that you would just put them on teams so that you can just birth their dreams. Surround them. In Jesus' name, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Name of Jesus. Wow. Amen. It's so good in here. I did 30 minutes. If you have kids, you got to go get them because it's 3 minutes to one. And there's a team up here to pray for you. There's a prophetic team to prophesy if you need a word. If you need healing, come on forward. God bless you. Come on out tonight and get rocked in the anointing. Come on. The fire and glory is here. Every ministering straight through from Wednesday to Sunday. Come on out and get blessed. I love you. Be blessed. Amen.